Well, thank you, everyone. Good afternoon and happy new year, and welcome to CSIS. My name is Michael Green. I'm senior advisor and Japan chair here, and we're very honored to have Japan's finance minister, Koji Omi, here to speak to us today about Japan's global strategy. Will the recovery of its economy, with the recovery of its economy, what steps will Japan take now in the world? Minister Omi is a very distinguished economic expert, political strategist, politician. I met him almost 20 years ago, I think, because his daughter went to Tokyo University at the same time I did. And she is now entering political circles as well. In fact, she's going to be running in the upper house election next summer from the national district, and that gives the finance minister an extra personal incentive to keep the economy growing and the support rate for Prime Minister Abe as high as possible. Minister Omi joined the Ministry of International Trade and Industry, MITI, now of course known as METI, in 1956, and he had a variety of key policy jobs there. He was in charge of South Asia. He worked on Eastern Europe, on trade policy, small and medium enterprises. He was a kacho, a director in the Science and Technology Agency. And then he left MITI and ran for the Diet from the Liberal Democratic Party. He was elected in 1983. He's now serving in his eighth term in the Diet. This is also Minister Omi's third cabinet post. He's a very experienced, in many ways, the most experienced member of the Abe cabinet. He served previously as the Minister of State for Economic Planning from 97 to 98. And I remember at the time I was in the NSC, and we all paid very, in the White House, we all paid very, very close attention to Minister Omi's speech on the Japanese economy, which Bill Breer, correct me if I'm wrong, I think was also here at CSIS. In about that time. Then he served as Minister of State for Science and Technology, Okinawa and Northern Territories. Those are all put under one hat from 2001 to 2002 under Prime Minister Koizumi. He made a particularly strong mark in that position. His legacy is still quite strong. I was in Okinawa in September, and they still speak very fondly of Minister Omi and his continuing commitment to Okinawa. He is, I suppose you would say, the founding father of the Okinawa Institute of Science and Technology, and also of the STS, which is the Society Science and Technology and Society Forum, a high-tech interdisciplinary policy forum designed to think through the application of advanced technology for the improvement of the economy and society. In 2006, September, the new Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, appointed Minister Omi to what many people argue is the most important post in the cabinet, the Ministry of Finance. This is, I think, the first major policy speech on Japanese economic affairs in Washington by a cabinet member from the Abe government. So we're looking forward to hearing what Minister Omi has to say. His resume indicates that he has very broad interests and expertise, in addition to being particularly strong on the economy on Okinawa. I understand he's had discussions with Secretary Paulson, with the Council of Economic Advisors and others on issues ranging across the gamut from foreign policy to fiscal policy to architecture in Asia. Minister Omi has promised to speak to us about what Japan will do with its recovering economic trajectory, in particular the role of R&D, innovation, structural reform, fiscal consolidation. And I think also he'll have some words for the U.S. on what Japan hopes the U.S. role in Asia will be as we enter this critical juncture. So Minister Omi is going to speak to us for about 30 minutes, and then he's agreed to take Q&A, and we look forward to that. But for now, we would like to begin. Please join me in welcoming Finance Minister Omi here to CSIS. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mike Green, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. The purpose of my visit here in United States is to call on and exchange views with Treasury Secretary Paulson, and other high-ranking officials concerning prospects for the global economy and cooperation in the financial area between our two countries. Before coming here today, I discussed a wide range of topics with Secretary Paulson, including the global economy and the further enhancement of Japan-US cooperation, and I can say that it was a fruitful meeting. Today, I would like to start by discussing some of the major changes in the world in recent years. First change, the end of the Cold War, which had a significant influence on the security balance and the post-World War economic relationship. The new order has seemingly begun to allow different regions of the world to adopt different behaviors and views. Second, since September 11, humankind has been engaged in the fight against terrorism. The terrorist attacks have been utterly condemned, and I offer my deep condolences to the victims and their families. In this context, stability in Iraq is crucial. Third, more recently, challenges have been made against the nuclear non-proliferation system. The announcement of nuclear testing by North Korea on October 9 last year represents a grave threat not only to Japan and the Asian region, but to all humankind, and this is totally unacceptable. Iran also restarted uranium enrichment-related activities last summer. I would like to welcome the unanimous adoption of a resolution to impose sanctions against Iran by the United Nations Security Council on December 23rd. The current non-proliferation system is in danger of being destroyed. I believe we need to maintain this system for the future of the entire world. Japan will make every effort to stop North Korea nuclear development. Fourth, Asia's economic weight in the global economy has been increasing. In the midst of this Asian growth, China is considered one of the superpowers thanks to its very rapid economic growth. This seems to have made China feel that it can go its own way. Consequently, more discussion is now needed on how to integrate the Chinese economy into the global economic order. China's continued expansion of its defense spending, which remains opaque, is also noteworthy. In Asia, India is another country with a large population and with enormous potential for future economic development. Japan wants to gain economic stimulation from the variety of these Asian countries while effectively contributing to their economic development. Fifth, the recent high oil prices' negative impact on the world economy has highlighted the importance of energy issue. As natural resources are finite, I believe that science and technology will play an increasingly important role in order to strike a sound balance between economic activity and environmental protection. Six, environmental protection, such as reducing greenhouse gases, has become a critical issue for the sustainable development of the global economy. The Kyoto Protocol covers only about 30% of total current CO2 emissions in the world. This ratio is projected to decline further as emissions from the developing countries increase. With all these challenges facing us, I believe that it is time for humankind to change its approach by establishing a new set of principles. This is necessary so that people everywhere can coexist peacefully and prosper in this new environment. Here are some of my basic ideas. We should establish a philosophy for coexisting peacefully and living in harmony, irrespective of beliefs, religion, and nationality. We need to strike a good balance between economic activity and environmental protection in order to ensure the continued existence of humankind. In this context, it is important to go beyond the Kyoto Protocol to create a new practical and effective framework in which all countries, including the United States, China, and India, will participate. The nuclear non-proliferation system must be firmly maintained. In order to do so, the international community, together with the United States, needs to take a decisive position to solve the North Korea and Iran nuclear developments. We must fight terrorism, which is a common challenge for everyone in the world, irrespective of their positions. It is critical to solve these global challenges facing us so that we can pass on today's peace and prosperity to future generations. In order to do so, it is necessary for the major nations of the world to come to a fundamental agreement to tackle these challenges together. The United States is the world's most powerful country, both economically and militarily. The United States and Japan share the common value of freedom, democracy, and market economy, and those values should be shared by all humankind. In order to meet the new challenges, I believe that the United States plays a critical role. Japan would like to encourage this leadership, and we are willing to throw our support behind the United States. Without American leadership, these difficult tasks cannot be accomplished. For our part, we will never again take the road to becoming a military superpower. The foundation of Japan's national security policy is to maintain our security with the Japan-US Security Treaty at the heart of our relationship. Rather than have a strong military, Japan wants to remain an economic superpower and a leader in science and technology in the world. By giving our support to US leadership, we want to contribute in our own way to world peace and prosperity, primarily through economic strength and advanced science and technology. Japan also considers that the US presence in Asia is critical for economic development and stability throughout the region. We look forward to continued US engagement in the Asia-Pacific region through such bodies as the APEC. The American presence in the Asian region, broadened to include India and Australia, is to be further encouraged. In this respect, I would like to applaud the successful launch of the first strategic economic dialogue between the US and China held last December in Beijing. The Japan-US alliance has already borne fruits for Asia and the world. Let me give you some recent examples. Japan highly appreciates the decisive stand the United States has taken on North Korea nuclear issue on various occasions, including the six-party talks. We are resolved to make our best efforts on this issue because of the grave threat it poses to nuclear non-proliferation. in the area of measures against money laundering and terrorist and illicit financing, Japan also appreciates U.S. efforts to combat counterfeiting of banknotes and abuse of international financial system by terrorists. Japan continues its effort in this field in close cooperation with other countries under the international framework set up for this purpose. Moving forward, we need to continue to discuss the global challenges and the roles to be played by the United States and Japan. In my position as Minister of Finance, I intend to maintain close contact and to promote cooperation between Japan and the United States in a variety of areas, not merely those linked to economic issues. 5 years ago, the Japanese economy faced problems with non-performing loans and three excesses in the corporate sector: excess debt, capacity, and staffing. However, since the start of the Koizumi cabinet in 2001, a policy of structural reforms has been vigorously carried out. The basic principle of reforms is to leave in the hands of the private sector what it can do best and to delegate administrative operations as much as possible to local governments. Thanks to these efforts, the Japanese economy is now on a recovery track, led primarily by investment and exports. The recovery is not supported by public expenditure as advocated by Keynesian economic theory, but is being achieved through structural reforms from the supply side. Non-performing loans have been cleaned up and the financial system has been stabilized. The corporate sector has been restructured by eliminating the three excesses. The Abe cabinet will continue to dynamically promote structural reforms. Under the basic idea of non-fiscal consolidation without growth, a policy of structural reforms, not public expenditures, continues to be rigorously pursued to make the economy even stronger. As for the future outlook, buoyancy in the corporate sector in Japan is projected to continue. Corporate earnings have risen steadily from $226 billion in fiscal 2001 to $457 billion in fiscal 2005. And estimates are that for fiscal 2006, corporate earnings will record historical highs. The real GDP of Japanese economy is forecast to grow 2% in the next fiscal year, primarily owing to domestic private demand. At this juncture, increases in wage and regular employment continue to be modest, but the favorable conditions in the corporate sector will ripple through to the household sector and wages as the total unemployment rate and the job offers to applicants ratio have steadily improved. With this, the income environment will brighten and the recovery track supported by domestic private demand will strengthen. This virtuous circle will put the Japanese economy further along on the sustainable expansion path. I expect that the recovery path will manifest itself even more strongly by around the time of the House of Councillors election this summer, assuming the global economy continues to do well. To make sure that the current economic recovery trend is sustainable, it is important to ensure cooperation between the government and Bank of Japan. The government expects that the government of Japan will continue to support the economy from the monetary side. On the other hand, with regard to Japan's fiscal situation, Japan's debt outstanding to GDP ratio for central and local government continues to combined is 148%. This ratio is the highest among the industrialized countries. Meanwhile, the ratio of tax and social security contributions to national income is 38%. This is practically the lowest among industrialized countries. In other words, Japan offers a medium level of government services for a low level of burden ratio. Fiscal consolidation is a challenge of the greatest importance, and the Abe cabinet has a clear intention to resolving this issue. It is also important not to merely pass the burden on for future generation to deal with. By pursuing the goal of restoring fiscal soundness and revitalizing the economy at the same time, the government has pledged to achieve a primary surplus over the course of next 5 years to stably reduce outstanding debt in GDP terms by the mid-2010s. I feel at this juncture that we could achieve this goal earlier if we succeed in our effort for fiscal consolidation through the integrated reform of expenditures and revenues. The government budget for fiscal 2007, set at the end of December last year, has been further prioritized under the basic idea of non-fiscal consolidation without growth. By firmly advancing fiscal consolidation efforts, the largest reduction of new bond issuance in history was achieved. Thorough review and reduction of expenditures were also implemented. While cutting expenditures comes first, the government will also need to secure stable revenue sources to cover the incremental cost associated with the increase in the Social Security benefit payment and measures to address the falling birth rate. These costs cannot be offset by expenditure cuts only. To that end, the government is committed to promoting fundamental and integrated tax reform, including the consumption tax, after autumn this year, to avoid shifting the burden onto future generations. Economic activity is globalized today, and corporations choose which countries they will base their businesses in. In the face of globalization, the basic policy of the Abe cabinet is to make Japan an attractive place for businesses by securing equal footing competitive conditions between Japan and other countries, including the tax system. From this viewpoint, corporate tax system reforms for fiscal 2007 will include changes to depreciation schemes. One example is to abolish the current ceiling of 95% for depreciation to enable companies to depreciate up to 100% like in other countries. Another example is shortening the statutory useful life of equipment for producing semiconductors to levels comparable to those of other countries. We'll continue to make reforms so as to introduce global standards in the field of taxation. Even under such stringent fiscal conditions, investment in R&D is being promoted as a means to invigorate the economy. Budget allocations for R&D have increased in the fiscal 2007 budget. This is important from the perspective of raising productivity and the long-term potential of the Japanese economy. The population of Japan began to decline in 2005. According to the experts, in 5 years' time, the population may have fallen to under 90 million from the present level of 128 million, assuming that the current trend continues. Against this backdrop, it is quite important to take bold policy actions to maintain current population levels. The Abe cabinet also intends to channel new vitality to the Japanese economy through the power of innovation and openness. With regard to overseas investment into Japan, we aim to double that level to 5% of GDP by 2010. We are engaged in implementing a number of measures to promote inward direct investment. Japan-U.S. economic relations are closely meshed in this regard. As of the end of 2005, Japanese direct investment in the U.S. stood at approximately $150 billion, and Japan was ranked number two investor country in the United States. United States investment in Japan stood at approximately $44 billion, and the U.S. was ranked the number one investor country in Japan. The fruits of those investments stood at around $10 billion and $5 billion, respectively, in 2005. To promote active investment relations between Japan and the United States, a new tax convention was put into effect in March 2004, which considerably reduced the burden of taxes withheld at the source on investment income. In order to ensure sustainable world economic growth, we must address concerns about the environment as well as the stability of energy supplies. When we look at these issues, I believe that we should think 100 years ahead. Oil and other energy sources may have dried up by then. Technological breakthroughs may lead to alternative energy sources such as wind, solar, and bioenergy, but it is unlikely that those sources can play a major role. Ultimately, I believe that nuclear energy provides a realistic and effective answer to the issue of ensuring a stable energy supply and of addressing climate change. This is why Japan has been promoting the peaceful use of nuclear energy. Premised on stringent measures for safety and non-proliferation, a growing number of countries appears to be developing a more favorable stance towards adopting and utilizing nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. I hope that more countries and more people among the general public will come to deepen their understanding of the case for utilizing nuclear energy. As a member of the Diet, I have been involved in the formation of science and technology policies for many years. From April 2001, I served as Minister of State for Science and Technology Policy in the first Koizumi cabinet. During my tenure, I came to realize more than ever the great importance which science and technology has for the future of humankind, and I began to feel the need to create a new international platform to discuss the lights and the shadows of science and technology issue from the perspective of the long future of humankind. Progress in science and technology has brought prosperity and has enriched the quality of life for much of humankind. But along with the lights have come shadows, such as climate change, ICT-related privacy issues, and ethical problems in biotechnology. We must control the negative factors on the one hand and promote the positive factors of the science and technology on the other. The problems we face today are becoming increasingly complex against the backdrop of globalization and international competition. They are beyond the control of any single country. This is because many of the problems will be resolved through changes in social systems, international collaboration, global networks, and the building of common rules. People from different backgrounds should get together to deal with the lights and shadows of science and technology. Not only professional scientists, but also policymakers, business leaders, and media leaders from all over the world need to gather to deal with the science and technology issues from the standpoint of humankind's future. Based on this fundamental concept, the Science and Technology in Society Forum, known as the STS Forum, was created under my leadership. The inaugural meeting of STS Forum was held in November 2004 in Kyoto, Japan. At this meeting, the Council decided to meet annually in this city thereafter. As the founder and chairman, I have made great effort so that these meetings are to be successful. At the third meeting in mid-September in Kyoto last year, approximately 600 people from 70 countries, regions, and international organizations participated. Among the participants were several Nobel laureates in science, more than 20 presidents from top-flight universities, and over 20 ministers of science and technology affairs from all over the world. From the United States, about 100 people attended the STS Forum, including Dr. John Marburger, Director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, Dr. Henry McKinnell, Chairman of the Pfizer Inc., Dr. Ralph Cicerone, President of National Academy of Science, and Dr. Elias Zafuni, Director of the National Institute of Health. From Japan, Mr. Junichiro Koizumi and Mr. Shinzo Abe, our former and current Prime Minister, also took part in the past meeting. The fourth meeting of the forum is scheduled to take place in Kyoto from October 7 to 9 this year. I strongly hope that people here today will participate in the forum. This meeting is not a mere conference, but a kind of movement of humankind to solve common problems related to science and technology from the long-term perspective. At the fourth annual meeting, we are planning to center the discussions around the two topics, harmony with nature and innovation. In Japan, the House of Councillors election will take place this summer. Half of its members will be up for re-election after serving their term of 6 years. The ruling coalition of the Liberal Democratic Party and New Komeito must take every effort to win the upcoming election in July. We are not so pessimistic about the result. With the election nearing, Japan will enter a political season. I hope that the American people understand that this election is a critical political juncture for Japan. As I have made clear in my remarks today, the ruling coalition is working to gain the trust of the people of Japan by continuing structural reforms, supporting innovation and openness, and by promoting fiscal consolidation and economic growth at the same time. A stable majority after the election this summer will enable us to implement these policies in and even more dynamic way. In conclusion, Japan considers cooperation with the United States very important, and looks to the United States to assume leadership in the face of the new challenges for the world. Japan pledges its support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister Omi, for a very broad and yet specific speech touching on proliferation, on the post-Kyoto consensus that Japan is poised to help develop, not shying away too much from issues like consumption tax, which I thought was impressive before an election. I was going to ask about that, but I'll leave that for someone in the audience if they want to probe a little more on the tax issue and on fiscal consolidation and science and technology. If I could, we're going to have Q&A. I'd like to ask the first question. You mentioned in your speech the importance of the U.S. role in Asia. You also mentioned India and Australia and also APEC. Could you say something more, Mr. Minister, about what role you see in the Asian integration process or in the Asian architecture for APEC, what role for a possible U.S.-Japan free trade agreement or FTA, where should the focus be from Japan? There are many, many developments ranging from APEC to the East Asia Summit to the Chiang Mai Initiative. What is the main focus in your mind that Japan should have for strengthening East Asian integration, but also a strong trans-Pacific economic integration process?
I feel the future of Asian economy is growing, including China, India, Japan, and other countries. And I strongly hope the U.S. presence in this Asia-Pacific region will be bigger not only for the economic reason, but for the security reason. And I would like to involve not only narrow sense of the East Asia, but India and Australia. These countries should be involved in this framework. And we really welcome the U.S. Involvement, increased involvement of the United States in this area.
The floor is open. If you could, we have microphones. If you could stand up and identify yourself. Arthur, did I see your hand?
Thank you, Mr. Minister. Arthur Alexander from Georgetown University. Just last week, your cabinet colleague, Ota Hiroko, was here, and she and both you mentioned fundamental tax system reform that is being discussed in the cabinet. And I wonder if it's not too early or too premature to say something about what the lines of discussion are in talking about, thinking about fundamental tax system reform.
We'll begin to discuss about the total system of the taxation in Japan, but we are not yet prepared to make a concrete idea of what kind of measures we will take at that moment. We'll begin to discuss. But we have to solve the matter of the increased expenditure for social security fields as a result of the increased number of the aged population. And also, we have to tackle the problem of the negative birth rate to try to increase the number of the population, to make the favorable conditions for new babies.
I'm going to follow up. This is very unfair to my friend and your daughter because she's running for election, but should we expect that a consumption tax will be on the menu of issues and the line of discussion as things go forward?
So we have to discuss many problems, including consumption tax. But before that, we have to make sure about the number of the fiscal conditions of this. Fiscal year, and also the result of the reform of the medical insurance system will come out about the summer of next year, and looking at these figures, we'll begin to discuss about what kind of measures we'll take.
Thank you. Keith Krulak from the State Department. I was interested to hear a bit more about your views on Japan's growth going forward. You'd mentioned you think that domestic demand primarily from the corporate sector will fuel this. I wondered if you had any views on the prospects for consumption given, I guess, last year or the year before there had been discussion about resurgence of consumption in Japan, which seemed to peter out. I guess my question is, what's going to happen to consumption going forward? How can prospects for increased consumption be increased? And something like that. Thank you.
So far, the recovery of the Japanese economy is based upon the private investment and exports. And the level of the corporate earnings are very high. But level of the wages are stable, not going up very rapidly. And maybe as a result of that, the consumption is not so active so far. And we expect because of the improved conditions of the unemployment rate, which is now 4.0%, and also the demand and supply balance of the labor are becoming very tight. So eventually, this situation will come to the increase of the wages to the people, and as a result of that, consumption will be become more steadily going up. And then our economy will be gradually going up than at this present situation. That is our expectation.
Ms. Warren from the Agence France Presse. Sir, could you please comment on the Asian currencies that are basically relatively higher than the U.S., that have gone quite higher than the U.S. dollar in recent days, and you're already seeing some adverse reactions in some parts of the region. How do you see, do you foresee some kind of a crisis like the 1997 crisis that affected most of Asia, and how could you resolve, what advice would you give in terms of resolving this problem? And how do you see the Japanese currency itself? Is it sustainable for all the economic prospects which you related?
I'm fairly optimistic about the possibility of the Asian crisis as a result of the, shall I say, currency level. And the exchange rate, as for the exchange rate, I think these rates should reflect of the fundamentals of the economy. And I'm not in a position to make a concrete comment about the present level of the exchange rate.
We try to. Sir, in the front, yes.
Ken Joseph, writing for Japan Times. Just a real quick question. Just this last month, they made the move, the boe, chota boe sho. They passed the kyoiku kihonho. Many Japanese, especially older Japanese, are very concerned that there's a general trend. Next is to change the constitution. Some people look at this current diet as reminiscent of Taisei Okusankai. Do you see a general concern that Japan is reverting to many of its old practices of before the war?
The education law is very important to make Japanese education more active, and also the defense agency became the defense ministry, and that is a very good thing because for the pride of the people who are working for the security of Japan, and we really appreciate the succeed in making this law realized in the last session, of which has been a long, several years, the task of our party, I mean government. The Abe cabinet, the Prime Minister Abe, is a kind of people who has a very fundamental idea of the making Japan a kind of, using his word, beautiful country. In other words, this administration is try to solve fundamental matters about which are expressed in the try to change the constitution itself, which has been continued 60 years after the end of the war. In other words, this administration is aiming at tackling the most fundamental basic problem of Japan as a country, so that we really appreciate the fundamental basic principle which the Abe cabinet is aiming at.
Ma'am?
I have two quick questions.
Tell us your affiliation, unless it's the finance ministry. And
my name is Naoko Kozuki. I work for a law firm. I work as an assistant at a law firm in D.C. I was wondering if you had an opportunity to speak to Secretary Paulson about postal privatization, and also have you or will you have an opportunity to meet with a couple of congressmen here? And yeah, that's it.
I have not talked about the privatization of the postal office problem has already over, finished. It's a, we are already coming to the making the procedures. So no problem. We are going ahead. As according to the original plan, it's over. それからもう一つ。I have to. I plan to meet to see several Capitol Hill people tomorrow, and yes, tomorrow.
Sir, gentleman in the back. Barry Wood, Voice of America. Minister Omi, could you explain
How is Japan going to maintain its economic superpower status with such a low economic growth rate relative to its big neighbor and with a declining population?
About the population problem, my opinion is try to continue to the same level of the population by the making the more effective way of the increasing birth rate, one. And second, the innovation, science and technology, by using our head, will continue to be the superpower in try to be the economic field without natural resources.
I was actually calling in Jim.
I asked him first. All right. We'll get you both, please. Go ahead.
Yeah. My name is Salomon Carrasco. I'm a freelancer. I'd like to ask you, ministers, about the economics of Japan in 1980. Used to be second place after U.S. I want to know how much money they have Japan and reserve. Also, I want how many dollars they have, Europe money. In comparative study, I think it's Germany, China, challenging. So I like to know how change from 1980 today, which is almost 24 years. So it used to be second place economically. The second question is, there is more private company in Japan or state company? Thank you.
We have, I don't have the concrete number, but we have enough foreign exchange money, no necessity to worry about it. And second, there is no nationally owned companies. Almost all the companies are privately owned and run by the private sectors. The one of the most important revolution was made by the postal office, the privatization.
Thank you. Jim Delaney.
Minister Omi, Jim Delaney, several times in the past. Now that the defense agency is about to become a ministry and finally get a seat on the council for science and technology policy, will they be given an opportunity to make proposals on your $205 billion five-year science and technology plan so that more of that research money can be devoted to defense science and technology and science and technology for safety and security?
防衛省に格上げされたということで、向こう5年間にわたるその科学技術開発費 の予算を、例えば防衛目的用の科学技術の研究に充てることが従前に比べてできるようになるかと思うんですが、いかがでしょうか。特に安全ですとか安全保障面で科学技術を使うということです。
I think we have to realize more sophisticated defense measures in the future to cope with the new development of the science and technology. But the amount of the money used for research and development in science and technology cannot be affected by changing the agency to ministry.
Hi, Lawrence Norman from Dow Jones Newswires, Minister. Just a couple of questions. The first one is, you've talked in the past about the fight against deflation, and you've said that the fight against deflation should be over during fiscal year of 2007. Could you be a little bit more precise about exactly when you expect that to happen? Will it be in the first part of 2007, or will it be later? And secondly, if you could comment, you've talked today about wanting the Bank of Japan to support growth. If the Bank of Japan raises interest rates next week, are you concerned that it may damage the economy?
The first one is purely technical problem, and I personally, as a human being, don't think this Japan situation is a deflation. But the definition of the deflation is to confirm the price level up or down is according to the governmental official is a kind of deflation, so that they have not yet announced the deflation ending. We are expecting the Bank of Japan support the economy from the monetary policy, but not in a position to make any comment about the level of the interest rate.
Jim Fothery from the U.S.-Japan Business Council. I appreciate your comments on foreign direct investment in Japan and the Abe administration's goal of increasing that, or roughly doubling it to 5% of GDP. I wonder if you might be able to comment on some specific measures that the government will use to try to encourage that. From the foreign business community or the U.S. business community, a critical one is, of course, merger and acquisition rules, the linked with the tax deferral and the triangular merger mechanism. Our friends at Keidan Ren have been not so enthusiastic about that. I wonder if the government has a view on M&A rules with tax deferral and any others. Thank you very much.
It needs to explain a little bit of time. Fundamentally, the government of Japan welcomes the investment from outside overseas. And the recent change of the system is to promote, to allow the merging of the reality, not the paper company. That is a principle. And this principle can be applied to both the domestic companies and the foreign companies. Same.
I think we have time for one more question. I'm sure that needs to go. The gentleman from the way back.
Hi, Minister. Mark Mannion with the Congressional Research Service. I want to follow up on a question that Mike asked earlier about the U.S. role in Asia. And you had an opportunity to comment on the U.S. free trade agreement for the Asia Pacific, and you declined to do that both in your speech and also in your response to Mike. So I wanted to ask you directly, what is your feeling about the Bush administration's proposal for a free trade agreement with among APEC members? Should that be something that occurs in parallel, that is simultaneously with Japan's own economic partnership agreement efforts, or should it be done sequentially? The Japanese initiatives happening first, and then only then can we talk about a free trade agreement for the Asia Pacific.
就業協定 FTA を今後進んでいくということについて手順についてどうお考えでしょうか。その日本を中心としてバイデン FTA をやっていくのか、それとも全体 の、 あのブッシュ大統領のブッシュ政権も APEC 全体で FTA を進んだらいいんじゃないかというふうにおっしゃってますけど。
As a matter of fact, it takes time to make up some kind of the regional or global free trade mechanism. So that at this time, we are going to make one country by one country basis. And we became very positive about the EPA. Agreement with the first of all the Asian countries and to the other countries as well.
Do you have a comment on the APEC FTA concept?
In the future, this can be possible as a result of the globalization activities. And usually companies are not thinking of the gradually do not care about the boundaries and from the economic viewpoint, boundary will be lower and lower for the economic activities. It's a natural tendency of the world. And we are in a position to promote this trend.
Thank you. Minister Omi, you've been very generous in taking time with us and in giving us the answers. We've been asking you questions that we maybe should ask the defense minister or the trade minister. But since you've had so many jobs in the government, it seems only fair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.